All right, so we are live, Village. We are live. We're going to get the Facebook streams going here in a second. Yeah, I'm just kind of waiting for stuff to kind of populate for me. And stream help, good on one. All right, so we are live on YouTube. Live. And live. Righty. All right. So I guess I have to restart my computer, but I'll do that later because I have no audio or no video on either of the Facebook live streams. So that just means I need to restart. But it is what it is. You know, they can still see us. I just can't see me. No big deal. All right. So let's go ahead and jump into this show. Let me see here. Yeah. Get this music, this intro music going.
Hey, it's your man KJ. We back. Bye. What you got for me this year?
You rocking with the Village. Let's get it.
We back, y'all.
2017. Welcome to the village. It's your man KJ. We are live. And your girl, how you doing?
I'm doing so much better.
She's like, now that I have finished this paper, she's like, Lord Jesus.
Hey. I am. I'm going to visit a mosque this Friday for escuela. That's going to be my first time at a mosque.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
I've been to quite a few mosques. They're,
really? How long do the services last for?
I don't remember, to be honest with you. They're not as long as you think. They're not as long as you think, though.
Oh, okay, okay.
Not as long as you think. Yeah, I've been to quite a few, done some services, and you know, because I'm always looking to join. I'm always looking to get into different things. So, you know, I consider my religious affiliation, for lack of a better word, I consider myself an omniist. Like, I find beauty in all.
Oh, yeah.
That's the kind of person I am.
Yeah, me too.
I want to learn a little bit about everyone's religion. I think everyone has something to offer. So that's why I tend to.
Oh, 100. Yeah, definitely. I agree with you.
Definitely. So, Angie, we got a ton of topics, a ton of things to discuss. Let's go ahead and jump into this first topic here. So this first topic, this GOP gun bill would allow domestic violence abusers to carry firearms. I don't know what part of they've stepped into, but I don't give a damn about your politics at this point. That's just stupid. Like, how is this even up for debate? You're allowing people that have physically abused children or women or whatever, and you're essentially saying, hey, it's okay. You can go get a gun. Don't trip.
Yeah.
So you're good for it. So I am... You know, I try to rationalize a lot of things. I do. I try to rationalize how people think, what they believe and stuff like that. I, for the life of me, cannot rationalize. I can't rationalize this. Mm-hmm. I can't even begin to understand what I don't even understand. Angie, I don't get it.
No, you know, I don't.
I just can't. I don't get it. I don't get it. You know, so it's one of those things that I think we're just going to have to kind of go with and see what happens, because at the end of the day, you know, they're in control. We're not. It sucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not in control of this. You know, and when I say we, I mean the little people, the people that are on the level of where me and you are at, right? Mm-hmm. We're not in control of this, and that's the part that sucks. But at the same time, something has to be done about this. So before I go ahead and jump into the article, did you want to give me your initial thoughts when I sent you this? Or
One thing is, I do have very little faith in legislations and in bills and stuff like that, unless it's beneficial to the policymakers. You know, those seem to work for them. Like when they put in a bill or a policy, it's always to benefit them. So that's one thing you always have to look at. Like, what would possess them? Like, why are they doing this? How is this benefiting the GOP? You know?
Exactly.
And that's how we have to look at things always, is why are they doing this? How are they benefiting us financially? I really do not have a lot of faith sometimes in laws, in policies, because a domestic abuse person, you know, depending on the level of where they are, they'll break the law no matter what. You know, they're already breaking the law by beating somebody up, you know? They can conceal a weapon and without the permit, with or without the permit. You know, and why would you get a permit if you're going to harass somebody? You know, it's actually gonna make you more of a target, to be honest, because the person can say, "Oh, he's harassing me with, like, if they do a restraining order, he's been waving his gun at me, or he's harassing me," and they're like, "Oh yeah, he has a gun permit." So you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, he's doing this with me to a gun. It's like, ma'am, we have nothing on file that he has a gun. So maybe you're making that up. You know, I'm just thinking, like, that's the thoughts that are just coming in my mind. But either way,
I'm waiting to see where this is going to go. I'm definitely waiting to see where this is going to go, how this is going to play itself out.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because this is, it's just so odd. It's an odd thing to.
It is. Even, it is. The thing that happened in Vegas, and then we're not gonna make stricter gun laws. We're gonna actually make it easier for somebody who's capable. I mean, this is insidious. Anyways.
That's exactly what I was thinking. One of my points was going to be, you know, we just had this thing in Las Vegas, you know, God bless those that were affected. But now we've literally made it easier. We're making it easier for people that are convicted of violent crimes to now go and get a weapon. God, it blows me away, man. Like, I don't know what people are thinking. I don't know. I don't even know I don't even think I really and truly want to know.
This is my thought. I think they really want us to start a revolution.
No, at this point.
They want to piss us the fuck off. They just want the world to just, like, blow up and And, you know, they're probably just doing shit to like, well, let's see how passive everyone is. Let's see how much more we can keep on getting away with until people lose their fucking shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one thing. Yeah, definitely. So, Angie, ride with me for a second. I'm going to go ahead and screen share some stuff. And there's this little clip that I found. All right, here we go. All right, here's this little clip I found. Let's go ahead and
Attorney General Josh Shapiro and Philadelphia Police Commissioner Richard Ross say they are against proposed federal legislation that would allow people to carry concealed handguns in any state as long as the gun owner is licensed in their home state.
I take my responsibility to protect people's Second Amendment rights very, very seriously. I also take very seriously public safety. This federal bill undermines both.
It poses some problems for police officers on the streets in their attempts to validate the many different permits that they may come across in the country.
The Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act could be up for vote in the House later this week.
Okay, so I am literally just like, I get where these cops are coming from. I get where all these different how this could affect police, how this could affect just your average everyday citizen going to go and get some tomatoes, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we now are in this society where people are. I'm not going to say people are trigger happy, but there are some very distinct instances where people are just pulling out a gun and they're like, you know what, I'll just deal with it and ask questions after the person has been shot or killed or whatever it may be, right? And so we're literally looking at that from that perspective. And I'm looking at it saying, like I said, I try to rationalize everything. I don't like to call myself an over-the-top liberal, you know what I mean? Like, I'm very liberal in the way I think, but there are some things I'm conservative on or things I'm progressive on, right? I'm not just one thing across the board. But this, to me, you know, just a little bit that I've read, it absolutely doesn't make any sense to me. Mm-hmm. Now, why do these individuals need to have access to a gun? They don't. Now, and they get it to the Senate and they modify it and they say, hey, if you've been convicted of this or domestic violence or this type of crime or into this category, you cannot have a gun. Then I can go ahead and say, okay, I can get behind that because I do support the Second Amendment. I don't agree with people owning AR-15s. I think owning a military style weapon is not needed by civilians. That's just my personal opinion, right? Mm-hmm. I would never fight for legislation that would take someone's rights away because there are a lot of gun owners who are very responsible with their ARs. I will say that. But the problem is when you have people that are not responsible, i.e. the Vegas shooter, stuff like that. Now it goes from responsible gun ownership to now we have people dead on the Las Vegas Strip, right? So there has to be some kind of happy medium, but I don't know what that is. I'm not a legislator. I'm just a guy with a mic. What are your thoughts?
I did not read this completely, but my partner shared this with me, and I just did a quick confirmation when I Googled it. Mm-hmm. And medical marijuana users who have a fucking card can't even get a fucking gun.
Yes, this is true. Yes.
But a domestic violence person, a person who has fucking hurt people already, who have known to beat someone's motherfucking ass, what the fuck is wrong with our society? What is wrong with these people? I swear to God, they're so sociopathic. They don't give a fuck. They don't. They like, it's like they throw it in our face. It's like they throw it in our face saying, we know you are so low on the lowest of lows. We know that life is already shitty for the poorer you are, the blacker you are, more feminine you are, whatever you are on that list, it's already hard for you. Let's make it harder by signing in things into bills. That's though I, like I said, I don't completely believe that laws stop everything, but when you, I believe in energetics. I believe in when you put something out there, when something is out there, you create something. You're creating a chaotic mess. So I feel that you, if this is to pass, this is for some reason giving this freedom, like this, how do I say, because I'm getting philosophical now, but what I'm trying to say is, I don't think laws stop anything insidious from happening. If you want to do it, you're going to do it. But if there is someone who has like a slight little, just like the tiniest little conscience, a domestic violence person, abuser, and the law says, oh, you can carry a concealed weapon. They can go, ting, like, you know what? I follow the law. I can just go get a concealed license. You know, I'm not a bad person. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a rationalizing that may happen in their mind that may have not happened before because this energetic, like this being out there now, this being something that gives them permission, if that makes sense.
It does make sense.
So it's like
perfect sense.
Like I said, I don't believe laws stop a lot of things, but there is something weird that happens in someone's brain when you give them a permission. Like I'm sure some psychologists, Chanel can probably say something on this, but I feel when these things happen, this is a permission. Just like when Trump went into office, Cheeto face, I can't believe I said that, witch is too, I'm a witch. That fucking guy's not even the devil. The devil's too good. Whatever this glob of a Cheeto puff is, when he came into office, it's like he gave permission to the neo-Nazis and to these extreme racists and to these misogynist men, you know? It changed the dynamic, even though none of this was illegal to be a racist, a neo-Nazi, or which is crazy to me that they're not on the terrorist list, but everyone else is. But anyways, this, you do an energetic shift. So that's what's happening. So yes, I am interested if this does pass, how is this going to change the dynamics of stuff? But a marijuana user cannot have a gun, like, but a domestic violence person can.
Yeah.
Whatever. And
I'll say it. I am a card-carrying medical marijuana holder, right? I am very responsible with weapons. I've been firing weapons since 2000, right? It's 2017. I got roughly 15, 16 years of gun handling, gun experience, things of that nature. And it still blows me away that I'll never be able to own a firearm because I have a medical marijuana license or a permit. It blows me away. And like you said, Angie, I'm looking at this from that perspective of I'm a card-carrying person. I went through all the proper channels to get mine. I went and talked to a doctor. I got everything signed off. I was examined, all this different stuff. I did it right. And because someone says that if I were under the influence, I could hurt somebody, blows me away. The same can be said for those that have domestic violence cases, right? But they're allowed to have weapons. So I don't know. Like I said, if the stipulations are put into place that will put up these great safeguards to keep people with these type of crimes from getting guns, I'm all for it. Let's let it go, whatever. I support the Second Amendment. I believe people should have the right to bear arms. I do. I really firmly believe that. But I believe that a person that has committed a crime like that should not be allowed to carry a weapon.
No, ever. They should not. They should not. It makes no fucking sense. I just,
no sense whatsoever that this is even up for debate. Like, this is up for debate in a civilized country.
But you know what? No, yeah, not even civilized. We're far from civilized. Well, but this is the thing. This is the thing. If a rapist can get off within 3 or 6 months, and a woman who protected herself from being raped kills the guy who rapes her, and she was like born into sex trafficking, is spending life in prison, then it's not shocking.
No, none of this is shocking anymore.
It's not. And I don't think it's ever been, to be honest. Like, I feel like we just, you know, keep on getting angry, but we got to fucking do something. We can't just sit and bitch. Like, we all have to really do something. We all have to really do something instead of just bitch about it. I should have worn my shirt. Stop bitching, start a revolution. Like, that, we just keep on, just keep on allowing it to happen. You know, we just passively, like, we get upset about it. We do our little marches in the street, and then we go back to doing the same thing instead of being like, you know what? We got to pull out of the system. We have to find a way where we build communities, where we build our own infrastructures, but we can't, because we have let this third dimensional reality of the intersections. Like, oh, I can't talk to you because you're a Muslim and I'm a Christian, or I can't deal with you because you're a black man and I'm a white woman, or, you know, I'm gay and you hate gay people. Like, this is what's dividing us here. This is what's dividing our communities. And that's how they keep us divided. It's with these stupid little things, you know. Oh, you are a gun owner. I'm not a gun owner, so I can't talk to you. You get what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm. It's a lot to swallow, you know, straight up. It's a lot to swallow. It's a lot to digest. It's a lot to think about. And you're definitely right. And until we can all come to a great consensus of, at the end of the damn day, we may not agree, but we have to talk about it. We're not going to get anywhere. That's one of our problems. We can't have the conversation because you don't agree with this person.
Yeah.
That is absolutely childish. That is one of the most childish things I've ever seen in my life. And I've dealt with that personally from other podcasters even. I'm like, really? You can't deal with someone that has a different opinion than you? And that translates to society. If you, as an individual, don't agree with me, that's fine. That's fine. But guess what? We still have to sit down and discuss what's going on and how we can go forward and better improve mankind. But just shutting down and saying, well, you're this and I'm that, dude, this is an evolving door. This is going to keep spinning around and around. We're never going to grow. We're always going to be, oh, he's a black man. Oh, she's a white woman, or he's a white man and she's a black woman, or whatever the case may be. We're never going to get anywhere. We'll never grow. We can't sit down at the table, eat some fried chicken, drink some beer, and like, hey, so this is what I'm dealing with. Tell me what your thoughts are. Okay, cool. I may not agree with what you're saying, but guess what? Let's try to meet in the middle and figure this out for the betterment of everybody. And then let's go from there. That's it.
But we can't do that because we're a broken society. We can't get to that conversation because we have people who have been trauma, like have traumas, have a lot of, like, we can't get to that point. Not right now. Black people are just finally getting to the point where they can express to themselves, you know, and feel like they can actually talk about, like, low, fuck you, fuck your racist, you know, grandmother, fuck your racist systematic racism. Like, we're just starting to talk about that, like, now having, like, kind of a conversation, and it's still, like, impossible. So we can't get to that point right now. We unfortunately can't, because we have to do healing. You know, we have these marginalized communities. We have to heal ourselves first before we can have that conversation. like, you know, like someone who's a victim of rape or a victim of anything, they can't talk about that until they heal themselves. Then they can have a conversation about that with someone who may have, you know, who's a victim blamer and say, well, you kind of caused this rape. You know, at first it's going to be like, you're going to, the rape victim is going to blow up and want to kill that person because like, how fucking dare you say that? But once you heal that side and you can deal with these fuck faces and have a conversation about it. You get what I'm saying? Like there's, so it's like certain things I still can't have a conversation with because I get really overwhelmed. I get very emotional. Like it's just, it's not something I can talk about because it's just like, I cannot believe you're such a bigot that we cannot have this conversation because you honestly believe X, Y, Z, you know? So that's why we need certain people. That's why we need a community because we do need those peacemakers. We need those people like you, Kevin, who are able to talk to people, to probably anybody, you know? And then we need someone who can fix things and we need someone who can grow things and we need someone who can sew things. Like not everyone needs to be a communicator. That's not, but we need that peacemaker to have those communicate that talk. You get that?
I get exactly what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. Thank you for the prompts. I appreciate it. Cause I'm definitely the type of person I will communicate with you. I don't care about your, you know, I go to, like I said, I go to Fox News for stuff, right? I'm not going there to try to bash per se. I'm like, look, explain to me why you feel this way. That's all. Just break it down. Because I can tell you why I'm liberal. I can tell you why I believe it's a woman's right to choose. I can tell you why women should get equal pay. I should tell you why we need more people of color in government. I can tell you why all these things. I can tell you that. I can verbalize and I'm intelligent. I can speak these things, right? But if you can't come to the table and just listen, then, you know, we'll never get any better. We're never going to get any better. We're never going to grow. We're never going to be able to do anything but sit back, judge each other, put each other down, and die. That's it.
But like I said, it's layers of complexity, and it also deals with a lot of self-awareness. And that's one thing that a lot of people will not reach in this lifetime because we're not taught to be self-aware. We're not taught to communicate at all in school whatsoever. So it takes skills to be in this position. That's why I keep on reiterating that we need a community. We need people. We need building. I mean, we need people like you, like I said, you know, peacemakers. We need people. All of us have something to give to build this community, but sometimes we just do need a leader, you know, to start this movement. We need someone to be able to be like, look, let's start this community, you know, and start it up on a meetup or start it up on, and it probably is, there's probably things in San Diego like that, you know, through that neighborhood app. So This is the only way we can combat these legislations. I mean, there's actually a story like this about somewhere up north in California, how a little town defeated their little government, like how they were doing some oppressive stuff, and they came together as a community and they built their own community. So I need to get the name of the town. I can't remember it, but it's from David Hoffman's book. So I need to read that too. But my problem is I'm someone who has to, I'm trying to force myself to want to be a part of community. And that's the thing. Some of us don't even want to be involved. And I know it sounds strange coming from me who I'm like, oh, we got to do this because I'm also someone who's like, deuces, like, I just want to go be by myself. I don't want to deal with anyone's shit anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, I mean, that's the complexity of human existence.
There it is. There it is. So you know what, Village, we were actually going to discuss this next topic here. Apparently there's audio of Corey Feldman naming alleged sexual predators found by the Santa Barbara County Sheriffs. We're not going to discuss that tonight. We're going to move on to this next topic here. And it's, we're kind of jumping into the knee-jerk reactions. I have a video for you guys that I want to play. Angie, just ride with me as usual. I got something, you know, a little knee-jerk reaction, our reaction to this video. I saw the comments, didn't really read, didn't really watch the video per se. I don't know how even how long it is. So we're going to just screen share and we're going to watch this, okay? All right, here it is, y'all.
I heard the good die young. What the fuck does that mean, really? Because niggas tripping on each other, niggas tripping.
Oh, yeah.
Shit kind of seems silly. Do these black lives matter, nigga? Hating on that nigga, shine because you ain't having, nigga. Go and kill your own kind of who the hell matters, nigga. We worried about the police. Thought we was worried about the police. I'm your brother, get to know me. I was raised in the hood, nigga, just like you. Top Ramen County checks, nigga, just like you. Hella roaches in the kitchen, nigga, just like you. Food stamps, ground ones, nigga, just like you. Lost some homies in the shit, nigga, just like you. Mama stuck on the bottom, nigga, just like you. Daddy probably out slanging, nigga, just like you. So you gon' kill me cause I'm red and you chose blue? Damn. Niggas got the game all fucked up. Got my brother name all fucked up. Got my mama all in pain, now I'm fucked up. Fuck your Facebook post, shut the fuck up. Cause you just try and get a like, showing love on keyboards. Where you at in real life, nigga? Cause you just try and get a like, showing love on keyboards. Where you at in real life, nigga? Didn't near when you niggas call my mama up. Didn't near when you niggas call his daughters up. Didn't near when you niggas tell my bro to stop it. Bet near now you niggas coming out of pocket. Huh? Cause you just try and get a like, showing love on keyboards. Where you at in real life, nigga? Huh? Cause you just try and get a like, showing love on keyboards. Where you at in real life, nigga?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I heard this. I don't know where I heard this the other day.
That is crazy deep.
Mm-hmm. I heard it the other day and I was like, oh my God, this is so good.
Wow. Wow. That one kind of took my breath away.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what to
A woman by the name of Kathy Ray emailed me. Oh, we're going to put that email on the screen, and then I'll comment after.
Okay, hold on here. Sorry about that, Village. Sorry about that. That's some Village idiot stuff that I save for later. That was deep.
Mm-hmm.
We're always, like, when you think about stuff like that, we're always on social media.
Mm-hmm.
We're always on social media, you know, doing stuff like that. If someone passes away, you know, somebody that we barely even, sometimes don't even really talk to a lot, and you see people shouting them out and stuff like that, I'm like, you know, damn that. Shout me out when I'm alive. Shout me out when I'm doing something stupid. Shout me out when you see me doing wrong. Shout me out then. I'm okay with that. You know? Damn. So you've already seen that, Angie.
Yeah, I heard. I didn't see the video. I heard the song or the audio. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know where I heard it, but I remember hearing it and being like, oh my God, who is this? And what is this? I feel like it was actually on the radio, like not the radio. I don't know where I listen to so much audio. It could have been on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I
listen to a lot of audio. I try not to. Well, I do watch a little bit. I'm blessed to be able to watch a little bit of TV at work. It's just part of what I do. But I try to listen to a lot of things that are audio, so I'm not staring at a screen.
Yeah.
I'm doing my job and still getting knowledge. So I try to do stuff like that. But that piece was deep, and he was dead on.
Yeah, he was.
Dead on. Sometimes we just doing stuff for likes. You know, this social media, it's not even social. We do stuff just because we need to feel loved, and this is – social media is almost like a sick and twisted version of being loved, because most people, they don't know how to communicate in a real social setting, but they can communicate through a keyboard. That's
because you can process a lot of things before you put it on. I mean, sometimes people put shit on. I'm like, did you even process that shit? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
But what I'm saying is, so I feel like one, it's security. You can post something and like hide behind the keyboards. Two, some people can process their thoughts and then like backspace it, reread it back. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not reactionary most sometimes. Where having a face-to-face conversation, some people don't always respond right away. Like later on, they're like, ah, shit, I should have said this. Or why did I say that? You know? So I think social media allows us to maybe process things a little bit more, if that makes sense sometimes, mm-hmm. where communication, when you're communicating front to front, like this podcast would cause a lot of people anxiety to have to like just talk and then, you know, deal with the consequences of saying something wrong and then having to apologize about it later, you know, mm-hmm. where sometimes Facebook, if you take the time, then there's people who've deleted Facebook posts, but because the internet, they screenshot everything. So you can't even get rid of all the bullshit you say on the internet. But I feel like sometimes you can paint a different picture of yourself. Excuse me, with media, social media.
That's very true. Sometimes you can paint a different portrait of yourself. Because I've looked at some of these people's posts and I'm like, okay, we know you don't live like that, so stop it. But I'm not the type of person. I don't blast nobody. I let you live in your fantasy, and I'll live in my reality. There it is, and that's how I treat people. That's how I do people, man. Seriously.
He's talking about you, Daniel. I'm just
kidding. No, I'm not. So kidding. Just kind of kidding. That is too funny. That piece was real deep, man. If you really, really think about what he was trying to say, you have to take this thing that we call social media and treat it just as such. You can't shout somebody out that you barely talk to if they've passed away for unforeseen circumstances like a murder or a car accident or something like that.
Yeah.
Shout them out if you barely talk to them. I mean, I get it. Show some love. But if you want to show some love, like he said, call the person's mama. Go check on his brothers and sisters. Go check on his family. Go, you know, take a meal over to the family's house, you know, because I'm sure they're not able to cook and be in mind to cook a meal and sit down. Do stuff like that. That to me is how you show me love. Use putting up a Facebook post, whatever, man, cool. Mm-hmm. But if you hit me up on text, like, hey, I don't know what I can do, but yo, I made this big meal and I'm going to bring over this big meal to you and your family. Yo, I have way more respect for you and I'll love you more for that. But just shouting out, like, yo, oh, shout out to my dude who passed away this, that's messed up. And then. That's it.
Yeah.
And most of the times, these same people shouting them out don't even go to the funeral.
Mm-hmm. So, I will say, I don't go to funerals, though.
You don't? Mm-mm. Okay. We'll talk about that offline if you don't want to talk about it now, but I go. I go to funerals. Mm-hmm. I will go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not, I don't like them, but I will go for a family member. I want to see them off the right way. But exactly, the celebration of life. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's what we go to.
That's right. All right, Angie, let's jump to this next knee-jerk reaction. And this is one that I've literally been like, yes, we get to address this. Let's talk about this. Okay, so Michael Slaugher, he's the South Carolina officer that shot and killed unarmed black male Walter Scott. He was sentenced to 20 years today, right? Here's my issue with that. And I had a few people on my timeline kind of say the same thing. I checked the guy's age myself. The dude is only 36 years old. He turned 36 last month, right? He's a 36-year-old guy. I'm sorry, he'll do 20 years. Let's just say he does the full 20 years. I believe he's already done 2 and some change, right? This man will be out of jail around 55, 56 years of age. Let that sink in. At 55, 56 roughly, somewhere in the 54 to 56 range, he's going to come out of jail and live the rest of his life. Walter Scott is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Walter Scott's not going to jump out of that grave in 20 years from now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what bugs me about all this is he was only given second-degree murder. He was convicted of second-degree murder. Second-degree murder. That's it. We all seen the video of Walter Scott. We've all seen the altercation. We can all Monday morning quarterback, whatever the hell you want to call it. We can all say what we need to say. Walter Scott shouldn't have ran this, that, and the third. The simple fact is Michael Slaugher should not have fired his weapon at this guy as he was running away. And then ultimately just tries to lie about it. If this guy that recorded it, I believe his last name is Santana. I don't know for sure. I believe it's Santana. But if this guy had not been there and recorded what happened, Michael Slaugher more than likely would have gone away a free man. And mm-hmm. he would have got test duty for a couple of weeks, maybe a month, and then he'd be back on the streets doing whatever it is he wanted to do, thinking that he is invincible.
Yeah.
That just sickens me that this is where we're at. Like, this is literally where we're at in the world. This second degree murder, Angie.
Mm-hmm.
What you got? Because what you got?
I will be honest that I'm shocked that he did get a sentence. I'll be quite honest. Isn't this like one of the first ones to get a sentence for shooting an unarmed black man?
And it's sad that you're shocked that this man got convicted. That's even worse. I'm not putting you down. The fact that you're surprised this man actually got time says a lot about the culture of the police in the country.
Yeah, I'm shocked that he did. I need to read what made them convict him and not the guy who killed, like, the other one. Like, all of the, you know, Philando Castile and fucking, like, I can't think of all the names right now, of course, because I'm still shocked that this actually did happen. Because they usually don't get convicted. Nothing happens to these guys. They get away scot-free. But he killed him. He killed him cold blood. I don't know why shooting a person running away. I mean, was he fleeing a murder scene? No, like he wasn't fleeing a scene. It was an altercation that they had, and shooting him wasn't a justification of that.
It was actually for a traffic incident.
Yeah, violent. Yeah, exactly. Was it South Carolina that this one happened in?
South Carolina.
Yeah, I remember this one. I remember he was like wearing a blue shirt. Like, I remember the video. But that's the thing. He wasn't fleeing a murder scene.
No. No, he wasn't fleeing a murder scene. It was a traffic incident that obviously went absolutely sideways.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know the full ramifications of what all happened. I just know that there's a person that is dead and there is another person that will be out of jail in 20 years and he'll be able to go forward with his life. at 50, like I said, 54 to 56 years of age, Michael Slaughter will walk out of prison a free man, and he'll live the rest of his life.
Not unless they kill him in there.
You know, here, you know, Angie, I don't wish death on, I don't wish death on anybody.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm just kidding. They protect cops in there. They protect cops. They don't. They don't. Yeah, I know. That's what I was joking, because I was saying if a cop ever entered an actual prison, I don't think he would make it out there alive.
No, he couldn't be a cop. Could not be in Gin Pop. Let's be honest.
I watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I know how it works. I'm just kidding.
There it is, Village.
That's where I get all of my information about how cops are. So I don't even know what you're talking about them being racist. I mean, they're like legit. They have two black people on the force. They have women.
Wins, everything like that. Everything is great, grand, or wonderful. Village, that's the only reason. That's all I had on that. I am just like I said. You know, Walter Scott's never going to come back. You know, Michael Slaughter is going to do 20 years. He'll get out, rejoin his family. He'll get a job wherever he's going to get a job at, and that'll be that. That's pretty much it. Nothing else to say about it. He'll get to see his mother again. He'll get to hug his mom. He'll get to hug his family members, all this, that, and the third. But, you know, Mr. Scott won't have that opportunity. Just keep that in mind, okay? So let's move on here to this next topic here, Angie. Let me see. Let me close all these out. And all right, so this next topic here, next knee jerk reaction. So this is something that I've kind of been following, just vaguely. It's called Murder in America, Murder Map, Deadliest U.S. Cities. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up is I remember for the longest, I would always hear, oh, Chicago is the highest, one of the highest cities, you know, as far as the murder rate and this, that,
I thought
and
it was
third.
Detroit.
Yes.
Detroit, right? And New Orleans always used to be up there.
But I fell into the trap of listening to the mass media and not going to do the research for myself, right?
Yeah.
And so I sat down and I just happened to come across this article, and I literally was like, yo, they're choosing Chicago, number one, because President Obama is from Chicago. That's why they chose that, right? That's why the other side, the opposition, the media, whatever, they chose to focus on that. If you really think about the murder map in this country, like you said, I'm not even sure it's Detroit. You may be correct with that.
Yeah, but I know Detroit and New Orleans were always like that.
Always up there.
Yeah, it was right? Always like Detroit, New Orleans.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to filter through. I'm trying to get to the top 10 murder highest murder rates. And I'm going to go ahead and just kind of filter through it real quick. Trying to pull these up here. Just give me a second, Village. I didn't know it was this many pages. It's like 60 pages. I just kind of read the opening link, basically.
Look, the reason why...
Go ahead.
I'm sure none of these numbers because the more rural country, like rural places they are, the more missing bodies and no one knows. Like, I had someone legit from Alaska, like, straight up tell me, oh, I know this person and they murdered this person. I knew this person and they murdered this person. I'm like, well, how many people are, like, killing themselves? Like, it's like, it happens. It's like, it's a thing in our little tiny town. I was like,
yeah. Right. Well, let's take a quick peek. I have the top 10. Number 10 is Las Vegas, Nevada. I've lived in Vegas. I lived in Vegas for about a year and a half. So I saw a lot of murder.
Really?
Las Vegas? My goodness. See, when you go to Las Vegas, everybody thinks, oh, Las Vegas is the strip. No, hell no. The city of Las Vegas is, yeah, the city of Las Vegas is a rough city, right? And that's why those cops, if you've ever been to Vegas Village, Anilana, if you guys have ever gone down there, you'll notice those cops are out there just walking. They've got, and this is what I learned when I was out there. They have got to protect the tourists because that's what their money is. If they don't have tourists, they don't have anything.
Yeah.
Tourists is what makes that city money. That's why you can walk down the strip drinking a drink. They're going to warn you, but you're not supposed to do it, but they're not really going to mess with you.
Supposed to do it? I thought that was like what made Vegas Vegas is like you can walk down with a drink.
I don't think you're supposed to walk down the street drinking a drink.
Are you serious?
I believe so. I just remember from what I remember. Now, I could be wrong, but what I'm saying is they're still not going to mess with you. They protect their tourism. So the murder rate in Las Vegas is 10.9 per 100,000. Basically, 69 people were murdered in that city in the first half of 2017. This number does not reflect the 58 people who were killed at a concert by a gunman in October. All right. So let's move on to the next one. Number 9 is Cincinnati, Ohio. That I didn't know. I didn't think Cincinnati, Ohio.
Wow, I did not think that.
I didn't do that either. The murder rate in Cincinnati is 11.0 per 100,000. The rate went unchanged compared with the same time span last year. Didn't know Cincinnati was that rough of a city. Didn't know that. Nothing I can say. I've never been to Ohio, so I can't speak one way or the other. Now, this one here, number 8, Chicago, Illinois. The murder rate in Chicago is 12.1 per 100,000. In the first half of 2017, 328 people were murdered, 4 more victims than the same period last year. I've been to Chicago. Let me say this. I actually love Chicago.
I like Chicago.
I had planned on moving back there when I discharged, actually. I loved Chicago.
I did. I like Chicago, too.
I thought it was a great city.
Me too.
But it's a rough city, right? It's a loving city, but it has its rough areas. You can go to the south side. The south side's a little rough, but it's still a good city. Mm-hmm. I think it's great people. Let's move on to this. Number 7, Memphis, Tennessee. Now, this I did know. Memphis, Tennessee is a rough
city. Yeah.
I know that.
Me too.
The murder rate in Memphis is 12.7 per 100,000. Right? Okay, let's move on to this next one. Kansas City, Kansas. The murder rate in Kansas City.
I kind of knew about Kansas being a little rough.
I didn't know.
Oh, you know what? I lie. I knew Cincinnati actually is rough. No, I knew Cincinnati and Kansas City are rough. Yes, I do remember that.
Okay.
But I wasn't thinking murder capital. Like when I think murder capital, I'm not thinking Cincinnati or Kansas City. But I do know that there's rough areas.
Mm-hmm.
Next
city is Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah,
I heard Cleveland's rough. Never been there either. I don't know. I couldn't tell you one way or the other. Next city, number 4, Detroit, Michigan's number 4. The murder rate in Detroit is 20.2 per 100,000. In the first half of 2017, 136 people were murdered in that city. All right. So number 3, the big NO, the murder rate in New Orleans is 24.5 per 100,000. 96 people were murdered in the city in the first half of 2017, and the murder rate jumped by nearly 30% compared with the same time span last year. And let's look at number two, Baltimore, Maryland. I've been to Baltimore. Yeah. And let me tell you.
Yeah.
Like this is where they filmed The Wire. I understand. Like, we were just down the street. We were riding up and down the street. I was in Baltimore 2013, 2014 for a business trip. And yeah, my goodness.
Yeah.
We pretty much stayed on our side of town. I hate to say that. But when you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? Don't go. Yeah, don't do it.
Like, you know, when tourists come to San Diego, I tell them, stay at National City. I let them know off the bat.
It's not bad. National City is not bad. I mean, Daniel is bad. I'm just kidding. He's from Nasty City. We love you, Daniel. Number one is Portland, Oregon.
Nope, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm just kidding.
The murder rate in St. Louis is 29.1 per 100,000. The highest of all cities included in the police chief's data. 92 people were murdered in that city in the first half of 2017, right? So here it is. You know, we've always just assumed that Chicago was this, like, the murder capital. Like, go to Chicago, you're going to end up dead, right? We've always assumed that. We always like, yeah, it's Chicago. You know, it's Chirac. Yes, Chicago is within the top 10. You know, nothing that... That's not, I'm not going to say it's surprising, but at least we know where Chicago stands, right? So at the same time, I'm just sick of people saying the murder, you know, Chicago is this, Chicago's bad, this, that, and the third. I just want people to realize that at the end of the day, you know, there are worse places. And yeah. I'm not saying that the congratulatory thing, like congratulations.
Oh, congratulations, hell no, St. Louis, St. Missouri. Yeah. Or St. Missouri.
Yeah, St. Louis.
Yay! Keep it up.
No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is stop looking at Chicago like it's just the worst thing, right? Mm-hmm. There's worse places out there. And that's really all I had to say about that. You know, it was just something I've been looking at. And honestly, I'm going to do way more research because, like I said, I fell into the media trap of, oh, Chicago this, Chicago that, President Obama, do something about Chicago. I bet you he was reading those statistics and he was like, are y'all reading the same things I'm reading? Mm-hmm. Because if not, then I'm going to need y'all to shut the hell up. So, oh, and now we got some little bit of issues here with Facebook Live, but that's okay. It is what it is. It is what it is. I think Facebook Live just kicked us out. That's that, you know, such is life. But I got the YouTube channel up. You guys can hop on the YouTube and go from there. All right. So let me go ahead and jump into this next one here. Come on. Computer's a little slow right now. And I just updated it too. That's the crazy part. Australia approved same-sex marriage. Big ups to them. That'll start January 2018. So I'm sure January 1 is going to be a lot of gay couples that have been denied are going to head on down there January 1 and stroke of midnight. They're going to be like, yep, it's official. So. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward.
Yay!
Looking forward to that. All right. So that was just a quick little thing. And then this last one I want to cover, I haven't even read it myself. It's just the title just really messed me up, Angie. So let me go ahead. Sorry about
it's
that.
It's the really? Most wonderful time. Okay. I thought we were doing karaoke.
All right. I'm trying to wait for the ad to end so I can pull up this link for everybody. All right. Here we go. All right. So here it is. Let me go ahead and screen share with you guys. We're going to do this and do some Village Idiots, and then we will call it a night. I'm going to screen share. And here, boom. All right. For many Black women, Meghan Markle's engagement offers hope. Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean offers? Okay, that just made my stomach really feel weird. I don't like that. I don't like it. It doesn't make me feel right. Why does that bother me?
Mm-hmm.
Why does this bother me? Ah, I don't like it. Ah, what does that mean?
Let's play this here. Let's see.
Oh, God.
Relationship undercover for so long.
Keeping Harry and Meghan's relationship under wraps was a cloak and dagger operation. Of course, Meghan had a job on Suits, and so she couldn't fly around as much as Harry could. So when he had the time, he would jump on a plane, fly into Toronto. They're in a huge city where there's nowhere to go on a restaurant date. And so it was up to the friends of Meghan to actually kind of open up their doors for places that they could actually hang out.
Even going on double dates in both Toronto and London.
The other couple that Harry and Meghan often went on double dates with is his favorite cousin, Princess Eugenie, and her partner, Jack Brooksbank.
And part of that cloak and dagger operation, quiet 24/7 protection early on.
Now that they're engaged, she'll also be further training. She'll know how to deal with a kidnap threat or if someone is following her.
Markle now transitioning to royal life in the public eye. But it's a transition that has been in the making for some time.
The fact that I fell in love with Meghan so incredibly quickly was sort of confirmation to me that everything, all the stars were aligned, everything was just perfect. It was this beautiful woman just sort of literally tripped and fell into my life. I fell into her life.
Prince Harry actually picking out the center diamond from Botswana.
It was something that he'd actually planned several months before proposing to Meghan. It was a trip to Botswana in May of this year. Where he selected the diamond and kept that as a secret from pretty much everyone around him. Botswana is somewhere very important to Prince Harry. It was the place that he escaped to after the death of his mother and really kind of got to spend time away from the kind of media intrusion.
That ring glimmering with significance in more ways than one.
The little diamonds either side are my mother's jewelry collection to make sure that she's with us on this crazy journey together.
Good for them. It was late Maya Angelou who said, love is like a virus. It can happen to anybody at any time.
Okay. Stop sharing. Okay, so maybe it's not what we think, Angie. Because when I first saw that, my perception of that was she's marrying a white man.
Yeah.
There's still hope.
Yes. That is exactly what I felt. That's my visceral. Like, uh-huh. What does that mean? And then what does that even say? Because I hate to go to identity politics or racial, like, identity politics right now, but there has been a very, like, an issue between mixed race and a dark skinned black woman, you know, like that is a loaded title. You can't, no, that just starts debates. I don't know. I have so many issues with that. I just have so many issues. So many, like, a white man, like, what are you telling us? What is it saying? For a light-skinned black woman or a mixed, of course, no disrespect to anyone who's biracial. I mean, that's what I come from. Like, mm-hmm. that's not what I'm trying to say is, if you don't understand the conflict in the black community and what's happened to dark-skinned black women and how women like Meghan have had certain privileges because of them being lighter skin, like this.
So
this really affects me. This really it's upsetting when they say that. Like, why are you saying this? What does that fucking mean? What does that fucking mean? What do you fucking mean? This gives them hope. What does that fucking mean?
Let me read one of the quotes here. Danielle Belton, managing editor of The Root. I love The Root. An online magazine dedicated to Black culture agreed. To her, Merkel's engagement makes fairy tales seem attainable for Black women.
Why? No, fuck this. Why didn't they talk about how the fucking, was an Ethiopian king? I don't know, the African king or prince that went to DC, fell in love with a beautiful Black woman, and Meghan Markle, you're beautiful, you're gorgeous. This is not shade. This is not throwing shade at Prince. This is not what I'm throwing shade at. What I'm throwing shade at is the fucking media. Why that all over the news? This guy was undercut, like, she didn't even know he was a fucking prince. He brings her back to his home in some country in Africa. He's a fucking prince. Why didn't they say that? This engagement gives hope to Black women. That's two Black people in a relationship and a prince, a fucking prince from Africa. Why can't that be the hope that Black women need? Not a white royalty. Mind you, what the British have done, like, and oppressed, like, they are responsible for a lot of this shit. A lot of the shit we are seeing in the world is their fucking responsibility. It started from the British. From colonization, that those fucking Brits came over here to America, brought slaves over from Africa. Like, this is loaded. This is so much shit.
It's a very loaded article. It's a very loaded statement. I will 100% agree with you. It's very loaded. Let it out. But it's very loaded. It's
You got your knee jerk reaction. You sure got your knee jerk reaction from this. This is loaded.
And that's what I want. You know, you got to stimulate the conversation.
Like I say again, this has no shade at biracial, like, people. I mean, and don't get me wrong, a lot of people who are biracial identify as Black. I heard Megan does identify as Black, and you know, but when you see that and you see royalty, a white man and a mixed woman, like, this is layers. This is, you can't. And then what does that mean? Like, give hope, as if we need hope. Like, we need a fucking man to validate our worthiness. Like, what? What? Ah, I can't. I can't. I need to process this. So Village, I'm sorry that I'm like, this is what Kevin wants. He wants a fucking knee jerk reaction. I give it to him. But maybe if I process this and read from other Black women and talk to, you know, like, how do you feel about this? You know, like, what did this make you feel? You know, because I'll tell you, this is how I fucking feel. This insulted me. Like, this really fucking pissed me off. Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And understand that the reason why there is a gap within the Black women within studies or what they show, like, why Black women are having a hard time getting married, is because there's more Black women who have a degree. There's more Black women who, because of the way society has created for Black men to not be as successful in our society. A lot of women, a Black woman had to be that strong. I hate to say this because I'm talking about stereotypes right now, but this is where the stereotypes come from, that they had to be the breadwinner, that they had to. Kevin, you still with me?
I'm still here.
Oh, you blacked out. Like, your thing is not there anymore. But, And then they had to go to college, like, you know, like, they, so there has been this where a lot of Black women are having a harder time finding relationships where they find, like, an equal or feel like they, you know, there's just, there's, like I said, this is loaded. This is really a fucking loaded thing. You can't just say this shit.
Yeah.
Like, you can't say this shit. So what are you trying to say? Black woman, look to a white man. Look for your white savior who probably comes from money and you know, you need your equal because, like I said, apologies, Village. Apologies if I'm offending anyone right now. That's not, like, at all my intentions. Do you understand what I'm saying, Kevin?
I do.
Am I making any sense? Because this is really upsetting.
You know, I totally get where you're coming from with this, because at the end of the day, to me, I'm perceiving this article as the white man comes in to save the black woman, right? And that's how a lot of other people were perceiving this. Because when I initially
perceive it that way.
When I initially found this article, I was like, what? And so I first thing I do is I go to the comments section to make sure that I'm not tripping. I was like,
oh, I do too.
So, and people were saying the same thing that I was saying. I'm like, yo, we don't, black women don't need to be saved by white men. It's not a, it's no. So I you said it all for me. I literally saw that and was like, this is absolutely insane. So, and I'm going to leave it at that. Do you have anything you want to do, or do you just want to go ahead and move on?
I just want to like clarify once again, the reason why is because I know the layers of this issue. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why, but I'm not able to process what I'm trying to say, because this is layers. So, like, I apologize, but what I'm trying to say is there has been an issue with society always, you know, putting lighter skinned black women on the pedestal. Mm-hmm. This is layers. No, like I said, there's no shade at her for straightening her hair or do whatever. But, you know, what I go through is, can she ever rock her natural hair? Will she be able to ever really be her natural self? You know, like, these are the things that are like go through my mind. Like, Michelle Obama couldn't.
She couldn't even,
you know,
hell.
What?
She couldn't even expose her arms or shoulders.
No. Oh my God. She couldn't be any, she couldn't be her. Like, I mean, she was herself. She didn't hold back, but I meant like they just critiqued every part of her, like just dismembered her. But they do that to a woman, period. They do this to Milan, what's her name? Milan. Cheeto Face's wife. They do it to her too. They do this to every woman. But what I'm saying is, because of racism, you know, it's even harder. Like, the hair, you know, that's an issue. So that's what's going in my mind. When I'm seeing this, I'm seeing the white man. I'm seeing centuries of colonialism, post-colonialism. This privilege. I mean, don't get me wrong. I heard Prince Harry has done great things. I'm not, like I said, I'm not throwing shade at them. What I'm throwing shade at is how heavy this title is. Like, you know, taking into account that the mulatto, you know, that mulatto, the Creole, like the mixed blood, like, that's, you know, that's a different experience than a black woman, a dark skinned black woman. And how this, what hope, whose hope is this giving it to, mm-hmm. you know, because a dark skinned black woman isn't going to look at her and be like, oh, well, Megan did it. So maybe that, because that doesn't represent her, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So this is what I'm talking about. This is, and again, like I said, I apologize for speaking for black women out there. This is just my response, because this is what I feel. This is my own personal feeling. And this is, so it's just, I think it's just too loaded. I think it's too heavy and I hate it. And why don't you, if you want to use fairy tale examples, then use the fucking prince that went to DC and found his beautiful black bride. And he's a beautiful black man and surprised her that he's a fucking prince, you know,
mm-hmm.
read that. You know, I am just, so that's all I got. I'm sorry. No. I hope, I'm sorry if I don't make any sense. It's just,
you made complete sense.
You said it. My apologies.
You said it way better than me. That's all. So sis, let's do these last thing here. Some village idiots. I got some good ones. Then we'll call it a night, huh? Call it a night. Go ahead and close some of these links out here. All right, here. All right, let's move here. Let's do a little screen share action. Holla. All right. Here we go. Let's listen and laugh, shall we?
Oh, ha, 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 ha.
We're going to put that email on the screen, and then I'll comment after it. But I think it's fair for people to see what she wrote and get my response. I'll leave it at that.
I actually like that news guy. I used to like him, Ben Swan.
You need to be fired for the race-baiting comment you made tonight. It's okay for blacks to discuss certain subjects, but not whites. And then it goes on. Let's pull up the rest of it. Okay, so really, you are what I call a... Now, she tried to write the N-word, but she spelled it. I wish we would just put it on the screen. It's after 9 o'clock at night. People have the right to see it. She wrote N-I-G-E-R. Not a black person. You are a racist, N-I-G-E-R. You are what's wrong with the world.
Two G's, so baby. Two G's.
Niger. She's talking about the country.
White people couldn't talk about race. But contrary, we think that race is an authentic discussion to have. It's one we're having tonight because it's one many of you are talking about at home. And it's one that is clearly entered
this,
the
Atlanta at the end of this, mayor's race. This is how we know that she's
the scenes,
black
my
woman.
Colleagues and I, white and black, we decided, hey, let's go for it, right? Because we do try to keep it real here, and I think we do a very good job of it. So I think when arguing with somebody, you have to be careful not to mischaracterize their viewpoint. So I won't mischaracterize your view either, Kathy Ray. I get it. On December 5th, 2017, you think it's okay to call this journalist an I get it. But I could clap back and say a few things to you. But instead, I'll let your words, Kathy Ray, speak for themselves. And that'll be the last word.
Oh, yeah, queen. Oh my God. Oh my God. I love her.
Kathy Ray, whoever you are, girl.
Oh God.
Kathy Ray, are you big mad or little mad? That's all I need to know.
She's a Russian bot. I'm just kidding.
Right? Probably. Like, I'm about to figure out if Kathy Ray has Twitter, and I'm about to.
Oh my, I hate to do this to you, but I have to go pee.
You know what? We can wrap it up.
Let's okay. I'm
sorry. Kathy Ray, honey, you are the village idiot. The yeah. other people are just fluff. Angie, how did you get a hold of you?
Dancing Aurora, DancingAurora at live.com, LIVE.com, or Google Plus at Anjelana Marie.
And I'm at Enlighten My Mind at W2 The Village. You can show can be heard on Stitcher, iTunes, Podomatic, and Tumblr. Search and Welcome to the Village, 619-202-1562. Welcome to the Village at gmail.com. Website's under construction. Subscribe to the Crowdcast channel so you know where we're going to go live. Advertisement available stuff is available through our Fiverr page, Etsy page, search W2TV. Village has been a great show. Angie, as the saying goes, thank you so much. Village, we love you. We thank you. God bless you. You guys have a great night, okay? Bye.
Bye.